John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5-106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. And hey, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is brought to you by the new Zen Sport Sportsbook with cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible. Betting just got better. Download the Zen Sports Sportsbook app today. Breaking down the Titans' visit with DeAndre Hopkins. I do believe he's still in Nashville. And after he leaves here, he'll head to New England. He posted on his Instagram story, got picked up in a nice tricked out little Sprinter van. Was at CMA Fest for Tim McGraw yesterday. So taking his visit with the Tennessee Titans, he does have a visit scheduled with the New England Patriots. When asked about the visit with DeAndre Hopkins, Bill Belichick said, "I don't know. Talk to him. We'll see." Which, you know, if we think Vrabelese is a difficult language to learn and to translate, Bill Belichick is the next level of Bill Belichickese. But I've said I think that DeAndre Hopkins makes this team better. He adds another threat in the passing game. He will add a threat, not just an option for Ryan Tannehill to throw to, but also another person in the receiving core that defenses have to pay attention to. I think he adds a very accomplished veteran presence in the wide receiver room that they simply just do not have. I think that's good for Treylon Burks' development. And I understand the concerns about D-Hop. PED suspension, injuries, age, he doesn't like to practice. All of those things are very, very fair concerns. And I think should be added into the conversation of how much money are we willing to give DeAndre Hopkins? What can we expect DeAndre Hopkins to do for this football team? But even with all of those things considered, age, injuries, PEDs, all of the above, I still think last year he had a better season than any other wide receiver in this Titans room, and he still makes your team better.
I'm not going to doubt that he makes that receiving core better, but I don't think it's to a point where now, teams are fearing this, receiving core just because you had Hopkins. As a matter of fact, teams are probably looking at it like, good, because the one thing Vrabel did say, we want to get faster, and I'm sure he was talking specifically in the receiver room or whatnot. You don't get faster with bringing D-Hop. You just don't. I mean, he's not a down the field guy. He's never really has been a spurner. Mm-hmm. But at this point in his career, he does make your room a little bit slower.
Let's get TD's thoughts on it. TD Teron Davenport joins us now. TD, always appreciate chatting with you. We've been having this discussion today. I think that D-Hop makes the Titans better. Willie and D-Mace are not quite convinced that what he is now at this point in his career is worthwhile for the Tennessee Titans. What are your thoughts on the Titans bringing in D-Hop if they do sign D-Hop, and how much better do you think would he make this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think he makes the group better, but you have to look at it through the lens of not him coming in and being a number one receiver. He more or less would be a number two, a guy who would complement Treylon Burks. So that's the way it goes. I think you also have to look at the confidence that he brings to that offense. You know, you add a player of that caliber, regardless of whether or not he's where he once was, it's still a caliber of player that you add that's better than pretty much everything else you have in the room outside of Treylon Burks. So I think that does help. He isn't a burner. Like, he's not going to make them faster right away, but I think he'll make them a better offense, because you look at with Derrick Henry, 8-man boxes, one-on-one coverage. I think, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is still a threat against man coverage, single coverage like that. So that definitely would help, in my opinion, as well.
Have you heard anything, any of the latest on his visit with the Titans?
No, haven't heard anything about it. So we'll see. I did see a report that he may not be going to New England. I forget where I saw whose account I saw that on, but I did see that. Belichick has said that he may not be there, but I mean, we'll see. I haven't heard anything else.
TD, do you believe that if indeed that is the case, where New England is sort of backed off, and we heard Bill Belichick speak on it, he wasn't committal to whether, you know, D-Hop was coming on a visit or not. He acted as if he didn't know, really. Do you see this as a situation where the Titans just may win by default because there's nobody else out there that is willing to, you know, give him close to what he's probably asking for?
Yeah, I mean, that's very possible that would be the case. I think you look at how they just, you know, suddenly emerged as a favorite. You look at some of the odds and stuff. I think that could be the case. I mean, you know, I wouldn't have expected him to sign within the same week, but I would thought if Kansas City and Buffalo, you know, if they were going to do it, I thought they would have done it by now. You know, so I would say this visit is a result of what could have been, you know, less interest elsewhere and trying to drum it up, or, like you said, go with a winner by default.
But shouldn't that be a red flag to the Titans? I mean, listen, as much as, you know, I've come on this radio and I've spoke highly of D-Hop, and I do believe he's a Hall of Famer. But the last 2 years, for whatever reason, we could say injury, we could say, well, he got suspended for PEDs. Well, those should be red flags too. But each year, if this is anyone else, we would say don't touch with a 10-foot pole, because he spent the last two seasons not playing a full season, and he was injured, and the production is going down. So shouldn't this be all just like, as you're riding, it's sort of like that movie, TD, like you're riding down the street, you see one sign, then you see another, then you see another, then you see a bunch of red signs saying, no, don't go. It seems like that's what's happening. Like, we're seeing all these signs, but it seems like the Titans are ignoring them.
It could be viewed as a red flag, but, I mean, I think the Chiefs have shown that they're only going to put so much into the receiver position, right? Mm-hmm. They signed Tyreek Hill, and, you know, they say, oh, wait a minute, and dealt him, you know, a year or so later. And I think you look in Buffalo, they have issues, you know, within themselves that they have to work out. And I don't know that there was ever interest or not, but, I mean, I could see what you're saying, but then at the same time, you know, that could be there could be red flags for Hopkins looking at the Titans, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Hey, other receivers have gone there and didn't do too well. Oh, they're a run-first offense. Oh, my goodness. They only scored 5 points per game in the second half last year. Oh, my goodness. That offense only averaged, you know, whatever they averaged, which was in the low 20s in the league. So it could be looked at both ways.
Teron Davenport is with us. So, Teron, let's flip it to DeAndre Hopkins' season last year. He sits out for the first 6 games. His numbers, I know everybody, this is part of what we've been talking about today, is he had 717 yards, but if you look, it was not nearly as efficient as he had been before the knee injury. And so how much do you equate that as he's not quite the same since the injury? And how much of it is the Cardinals were just a mess because of that? I mean, they just had a brutal year from a lot of different angles.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, he had, what, Colt McCoy throwing him the ball. So you got to factor that into it a bit. But 90-plus targets, you know, 60 receptions, it's definitely not the most efficient. I think they could get better results here if he was in this offense, but you go back and you look at Rob Moore, what he's always said, you know, he wants his guys to focus on getting 1,000 yards on 60 to 70 receptions. Like, that's the level of efficiency that they try to attain, and, you know, that's what A.J. Brown was able to do, and obviously he's a special player, different, you know, creature, but still that's what they look to achieve.
Okay, so Teron, all of this to say, we've tried to hit this from all angles to determine what's the value here. As I think we can probably say, some of these contenders like the Chiefs would like to have him, but maybe not have a lot of, you know, money under the cap to do it. It's got to be more of a, hey, you're coming here, to be a role player to win, and then you've got maybe some teams on the other end of the spectrum that are going to offer more. Let's just say the baseline that maybe he's looking for would be the OBJ type of money, about $15 million as a signing bonus. What is the right price to offer DeAndre Hopkins at this stage of his career?
Yeah, I don't know that would be the right. I don't even know that that's the right place price for OBJ, to be honest with you. But I mean, I think if you could, you know, do something in the 8 to 9 million range, always put incentives in there to boost it up and make it look better, where it's like up to X million dollars. You know, that's always good for the agents and stuff like that for their reports. But I probably, you know, like I said, 8 to 9 guaranteed with incentives.
And okay, so 8 or 9. And do you feel like they could get good bang for their buck if he says, I'll take it?
Absolutely. I think you get a very good return on your investment for that, for sure.
TD is with us, Jerron Davenport. TD, I did see that same report, Bill Belichick saying when he was asked about DeAndre Hopkins visiting New England, he said, I don't know, I've talked to him, we'll see. Just, you know, classic Bill Belichick ease. Let's say DeAndre Hopkins leaves Nashville. He heads to New England. He takes his visit with the Patriots. Do you think that's a good sign, bad sign, indifferent sign for the Titans that he leaves Nashville without signing a contract?
I think it's indifferent. I would like to believe he will leave Nashville without having signed a contract. And it's a tour, right? Like, he's going to go visit with some teams, see what they have to offer. And, you know, unless it's an overwhelmingly positive offer that you can't refuse, it's only right to explore your options. So I think that's what he's doing.
TD, appreciate you as always. We'll chat with you soon.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you.
Awesome. Thanks, TD. We've got a bunch of thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins, his visit, what he could do for the Titans. How much should the Titans be willing to put forward for DeAndre Hopkins? We will get into your texts, your calls, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Hey, the Nashville Sounds are having a block party on Junior Gilliam Way from 3 to 5 p.m. in honor of 615 Week this Saturday. There will be live music, inflatables, balloon artists, food trucks, hair braiding, and more. My goodness, they've got a lot going on. This is a free event before the Sounds game this Saturday. Breaking down DeAndre Hopkins' visit to the Tennessee Titans. He is scheduled to visit the New England Patriots, but as TD mentioned in our visit last segment, that might be in question, maybe. It depends on how you interpret Bill Belichick's response in that press conference there. When he was asked about D-Hop visiting, and he said, I don't know, we'll see, I've talked to him. So we will see, Bill. We will see if DeAndre Hopkins makes his way to New England. I think the Titans need DeAndre Hopkins. Willie D and D-Mace are not quite sure. For the right price, says Willie.
That's what I say. I say for the right price, and I would not get into a bidding war, and I would not lose sleep if somebody overpaid to grab him. All I'm trying to lay out there is understand what you're getting here. You're getting a 31-year-old wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Look at the history of 31. The list includes some great years from 31-year-olds, but most of them had not had an injury history. The one that jumped out to me, I was looking at the list, Jordy Nelson famously had, I think he had a torn ACL. He came back the next year and picked up where he left off, had a really good year.
Yeah.
But there is, if you look at all of the wide receivers who have ever played, it's not easy to be as productive at age 31. So that's all I'm saying. And since the knee injury and then the PEDs, there was a drop-off in his play. And you have to look a little bit below the surface of the 717 yards, which were nice, but the efficiency was down, ranked 70th in Football Outsiders efficiency.
Yeah, and again, you know, if the Titans chose to sign him here, you know, it would be good for their team as a whole. It would make the receiver room a little bit better than what it is now. I don't think this receiving core goes from being, let's just say, the 25th best in the league.
I think it's ranked as the 32nd in the league.
Yeah, so
pretty much unanimously, 32nd.
Basically, they have them dead last. So if they have them dead last, I'm not saying they're dead last, but, you know, they're pundits that are saying they are dead last, and I get it. So you add D-Hop. They don't go from dead last to a middle-of-the-road receiving core. They go from dead last to 28th, 27th, 26th, somewhere in there. Because you got to understand, you're not getting the D-Hop that was once tearing up the league. You're getting a D-Hop that over the last two seasons, for whatever reason, for the last two seasons, his play has declined. And, you know, you got to understand that bringing him in. One, that, okay, he's more so on the decline. What are we asking him to do? Are we asking him to just to be a leader in this room and to take a little heat off of Traylon Burks? Are we asking him to be a bona fide number two, which is – you know, you still, if you're bona fide number two, you still better be putting up some yardage.
Yeah.
You better be damn near close to 1,000, if not. So we have to look at it from the standpoint of who we're getting now. Again, if we're getting D-Hop 2 years ago, great. Bring him on in. Pay him whatever you want because he was at that caliber prior to 2 years ago. But the guy we're getting now, you gotta walk it sort of. You got to approach it sort of cautiously. Everything has to be right in order for you to bring him into this room because he's not taking you from a fringe team to a Super Bowl contending team. He's taking you potentially from a team that's truly competing for the AFC, I mean, a team that's going to have to fight to win the AFC South to you bring him in. You're still in that sort of – let me just say this. Without D-Hop, they're fighting to win the South, right?
Yes.
They're fighting. With D-Hop, they're still fighting to win the South.
But I would give them better change. Odds.
I don't think the odds are much up.
I don't think the odds are
no different from him being on this team or not. I just think where everybody else is in that division, where they're trending, more importantly, where Jacksonville is trending, that's not going to push them no closer than Jacksonville than what they are now if they bring D-Hop to this team. It's not.
Why not?
Because, he's not. If you were telling me D-Hop of 3 years ago, yeah. Because he was still like 1,300 yards,
but
1,200 yards.
It's not D-Hop of 3 years ago.
So how many games, it's not the quarterback position.
No.
It's not even the running back position.
Which is why I can't say, well, you know, the Titans shouldn't get D-Hop because he doesn't make them a Super Bowl contender.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he doesn't play a position that can make that pivotal of a difference.
But he's not going to make me two or three games better either. He's not.
I think that he would.
He's not going to make you two or three games better. It's just where he's at in his career. He's not going to give you that because you're not asking him to do the same things that he used to do as a player. He's not getting the targets. So if you're not getting the targets and you're not impacting the game the way you used to, you can't then say, well, he's two or three games better if we add him to our roster. His whole the whole sort of approach with him or his impact on the game is totally different than what it was 3-4 years ago. Now,
again, it doesn't need to be that, I don't think.
If
you want to bring him in, I don't think they can expect that. That's not fair.
But if you want this team to be two or three games better, his impact, he needs to have an impact on every game. Because, again, he's used to that. And because he's used to that, that then affected the outcome of games because we were throwing it to him 10, 12 times a game. Now he comes here, say if he gets 4 or 5 catches a game, if that. How is that impacting the game? Unless they all come in the fourth quarter on game tying or winning drives, or it comes on every third down, but it's not going to be that way. So he's not going to impact the game the way we would want him to.
And I also think about it, too. Think about how many close games the Titans played in last year. I mean, there were several games that came down to the wire, came down to the last quarter, final minutes, last couple of plays, last couple of drives. I mean, think about the Jags game, for example. I mean, even that game for the division, the last game of the season, came down to the last couple of seconds, last couple of minutes. So thinking about those specific instances that can really completely change the outlook of your schedule. I don't have the Titans schedule in front of me, but I would have to say five or six of the games that they lost this past season were pretty close. Yep. I mean, the Bills game wasn't close, but I mean, the Giants game came down to a field goal. The Jags game came down to
the Giants didn't know that they were a good team.
Giants didn't know they were a good team. But I'm just saying, for example, the games that ended very, very closely, even the Bengals game was a very close game.
Jamar Chase wasn't playing.
I know that, but
I'm just throwing these things at you. Jamar Chase wasn't playing, so that potentially could have been an even bigger game.
It could have been, but it wasn't.
The score could have been a little bit, you know, different.
And I would probably give you that. The Bengals with Jamar Chase are a better team without Jamar Chase. I'm totally with you. I'm just giving examples of how many close games the Titans played this past season. Think about if you're throwing to D-Hop and not Robert Woods, who drops the ball short of the sticks. Like in those kinds of instances, in those kind of situations, right now, if the Titans go into this season as constructed, if the game is on the line, you have to get a first down to keep this game alive, potentially keep your season alive.
Treylon Burks.
And who else? If Treylon Burks is triple teamed,
Chigakonkwo.
I feel a whole lot better throwing him to DeAndre Hopkins than I would Chris Moore.
That's the question: can he still be that guy?
But
at what level?
Yeah, at this stage of his career. Yesterday's price isn't today's price.
And I think that his compensation needs to reflect what he can do for your team.
Well, so, if that's the case, then you're not compensating him a lot because again. We can go back to those close games last year, and we can say, well, they were close last year. Just think if we had D-Hop, and we could have probably won those games, and this year we're going to win them. Again, I said yesterday's price is not today's price, meaning I'm not talking about from a money standpoint. I'm saying yesterday was different from today. Today is a different day. The Jacksonville Jaguars is a different team. The Kansas City Chiefs is a different team. Cincinnati Bengals is a different team. They are a lot better now. So we can't lean on last year and say, man, those games were close. Just think if we had this year when we get such and such, those games are not
going to
be close.
I'm not saying it's going to be the exact same outcome. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying when it comes, it's probably more often than not or more likely than not, the games are probably going to be close. That's just the way that the NFL is constructed. And I would feel better about having a more proven veteran guy out there. I'm not saying that, you know, hey, you're going to win 16 games with DeAndre Hopkins because that's what last year would have been. I'm just using that as an example. But I do think that the compensation should reflect what he is now. I agree with TD that if DeAndre Hopkins walks out of Nashville today without a deal, I'm fine with that because that means that the Titans didn't give him an absolutely ridiculous bonker offer that he couldn't refuse. Like Odell Beckham Jr., I don't think deserved a $15 million contract with incentives up to $18 million. Just because the Ravens signed Odell Beckham Jr. to that contract doesn't mean the Titans need to overpay for DeAndre Hopkins. I think they need to be smart about it. I think they need to be conservative with it. I think they need to seriously consider the same arguments that you're making, D-Maze, of he's D-Hop 2023, not D-Hop 2019. So I do think that his compensation should reflect that.
Yeah, it should. And
the price that Teron threw out there to me is still a little high.
It's too high.
Well,
I'm not going
to
even say that.
He said 8
high.
To 9, I think.
Yeah, I'm not going to even say that's too high because again, it's if you feel you're worth more than money, then you stay out there until somebody's willing to get you. But eventually, the market tells you how much they're willing to pay you, and it may be different from what you thought people should be, or you think people should be paying you. So again, if the Titans want to give him 8. Give him 8. They want to give him 20. Give him 20. It's up to y'all. It's not me. I can't tell you how much money that man deserves or doesn't.
The other part that I don't know for sure, because I heard Bill Polian the other day saying, just because you look at SpotRac doesn't mean you have all of the – those websites are estimates. They're not always right on the money for what a team has. But I just – and he used the example of signing your practice squad, signing players during the season. You have to keep a certain amount of budget under the cap to make it work. So what I don't know is what do they have to offer him, knowing that if they're going to keep Byard, they're going to keep Henry, they're going to keep Tannehill as is, not mess with anybody's contract. what can they offer him and still be comfortable that they can do everything they want under the cap? That's got to determine what you can offer him too.
And I think the fact that they brought him in for a visit shows me that
they have something.
They have a number.
They have something.
They
yeah.
have a number. And it may be different than DeAndre Hopkins' number. And if it is, enjoy New England. 615-737-1025. Right to your phones coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Breaking down D-Hop's visit with the Tennessee Titans. He got to Nashville on Sunday evening. I believe he's still here. And now he is scheduled for a visit with the New England Patriots. Let's get your thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins' visit to the Tennessee Titans. What you think the Titans should be or could be or really should be willing to put forward for DeAndre Hopkins. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joel texts in. It says, D-Hop on the field could open up more opportunities for Burks, Chig, Phillips, etc. And I think that's kind of the silent contributions that we don't see a whole lot. Like with Derrick Henry, for example, mm-hmm. even when they don't run the ball, if Derrick Henry's on the field, defenses have to pay attention to Derrick Henry.
Yeah, defenses have to pay attention to Henry. But again, if that was indeed the case, then the Titans will have 1,000-yard receivers running around, you know, the yard. Everybody would be having a field day in the passing game if indeed that was true. Now, we assume it can be true at times, but, you know, just because you have Derrick Henry doesn't – it's not going to make your passing game the best in the league. We've seen it. They've had Derrick Henry for the last 7 years, and this team, from a passing standpoint, they've been okay. But they haven't been the passing game. We haven't seen the passing game that we would love to see that other teams mm-hmm. display that don't have a Derrick Henry. So, again, you bring in D-Hop. If he was on this team, I would love it. But, we got to understand, you got to look at him for what he is now and not expect what D-Hop used to be. And, you know, you got other guys there that are, I believe, that are ready to show you. Chris Moore, you brought him in. You signed him to a contract. I think he's ready to now take another step. What that next step will be, I don't know if it's going to be 1,000 yards. If he gets 900 yards, then isn't that what you expected somewhere around the ballpark with D-Hop? Mm-hmm. Well, you're getting that with Chris. And you're not even paying them nearly the amount of money that you would probably end up paying D-Hop. And you're getting a younger version. And you're getting a guy that's going to be with your team more than just a year. D-Hop, it's going to be a year deal. And two, I would want to start the clock on my new receiving core, like, right now. Like, listen, if we get into the playoffs with this receiving core, great. But I need to see what I have now headed into next season. And the question was brought up, well, if you bring D-Hop, doesn't it take away opportunities from everybody, you know, guys that are you trying to figure out? Yes, it does. And when he leaves, then y'all are going to be still trying to figure out, well, can these guys play? Because now the opportunities they would have gotten, they're not getting anymore.
But didn't you say he would get 4 targets a game?
He will get 4 targets a game, but you got to factor in everything. It's not just his target. It's how the offense is. How do you put together your game plan for the week? It may be taking away a play or two for another guy that can get you better results. Yes, D-Hop is going to get you a first down, but that guy, Chris Moore, Racy McMath, Kyle Phillips, they probably would have got you 17 yards because they're a little bit faster. They're younger. They can get down the field. That's what I'm talking about. You're taking opportunities when you start bringing in these guys for, again, I can see if Ryan Tannehill was young, Derrick Henry was young, this team was sort of geared toward, like, we're a young team, we're headed up. Then you bring a D-Hop, a little bit older guy.
But if it's
he helps
just a
one-year
deal, why does it matter?
Because you're taking opportunities. Because these guys are Racy McMath. This is probably his sort of contract year in a sense. what was he, a fourth-round pick, fifth-round pick, somewhere around there. He's been on the team, what, 2 years now? This will be going into his third year. Uh-huh. So you got to find out what you have in these guys. You got to find out, how can Kyle Phillips help us? How does Chris Moore, who we just brought in, we brought him in for a reason, how does he then help us? You haven't even given these guys an opportunity to prove that they can help you. That's why the Titans were not so gung-ho to just jump in the free agency market with receivers. Just so happened, D-Hop came available. They wouldn't have traded for him. He came available. Their thing was, we're going to ride with the guys that we have. We're going to give them an opportunity. It's best we give them an opportunity now, while the older guys are getting older and we're starting to become a young team. So if we're starting to become a young team, these young guys show that they can play with these older guys. That's good for us, because now we got our nucleus. We got our core in the receiving room. We don't have to go out and get a, you know, a first-round pick, or we don't have to go out and make a big splash in the receiver room with the free agent. These guys have proven that they can play with an older quarterback. So now we're all going to grow together. Treylon Burks, Kyle Phillips, Chigakonkwo, whoever the quarterback, whether it's Will Levis or somebody else, mm-hmm. we all get to grow together. This offensive line, pretty much young. We all get to go together. You want to sacrifice potentially 1 year with D-Hop to try, instead of trying to find out what you have in these young kids that can play.
But I think to a certain extent, I mean, like, none of them are really, and I'm talking about the receivers,
yeah.
are playing for contracts. I mean, at this point, Treylon Burks, whether there's D-Hop there or not, you know that Treylon Burks is going to be your number one wide receiver moving into the future. Mm-hmm. Racy McMath, I think they're starting to see the writing on the wall. I mean, Mike Vrabel even said, let's just start with him being a special teams player, and then we'll see if he can grow into a bigger role than that. I think mm-hmm. they're encouraged by what they've seen from Chigakonkwo. Again, those are Kyle Phillips and Treylon Burks is only their second year in the league. It's not like they need to go out there and catch every single ball that's being thrown by Ryan Tannehill. I think they know what they have in those guys. They're encouraged by what they've seen in those guys, but they want to win as many games as they possibly can this year, and they recognize that those guys are young and aren't quite there yet. And if they want to prove themselves, mm-hmm. they can still prove themselves, no matter who's on the field.
I'm telling you from experience, it's hard to do it.
Because, and I know you've been there.
Because when you have older guys in front of you, they may not be better than you, but they have the name. So what do you have to do? You got to sit back and hope something happened. You know, they had in the late 90s, early 2000s, they had a good receiving core here. But no, they wanted, you know, Yanty and Carl Pickens and bringing some of these other veteran guys, when all along they had KD, myself, they had drafted Drew a little bit. Drew was a free agent, but Justin, they had drafted Justin McCarron. Come to find out, oh, hell, that's a damn good receiver group. Why? Because they gave him an opportunity to play. They gave them an opportunity to make plays. As the quarterback was still young, that offense was still young. And what happened? We all grew together. That's what this offense can do. They can grow together. These guys just need, like, legit. I'm not talking about Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
Yeah.
He's had – I know what he is. He can get better. I believe he can get better. But I'm talking about the guys that hasn't gotten the true opportunities. Racy McMath, Kyle Phillips, Chris Moore, who got partial – he got some opportunity in Houston, and he was able to make do on it. And they brought him here on a contract. Allow these guys to show you what they can do. You've seen glimpses of them. You want them on your team. You kept them here. Allow them. Let them go out there and play. And see what they can do.
Mm-hmm. Just to circle back on how we sort of got started on this, the rankings from Football Outsiders, basically, without going through all of them and, you know, one by one, they basically have Chris Moore, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and DeAndre Hopkins in the same group of receivers in terms of efficiency last year. And actually, the lowest rating of all of them is Hopkins. And so it is, what are you getting with DeAndre Hopkins? How confident are you at his age, this stage of his career, based on what he's been through? How much can he bounce back? Because if you're paying decent money for that, that's a bad buy. Right, if he is what he was last year, that is not worth $8-9 million, not anywhere close to it. I don't care if he's the greatest guy in the locker room. That kind of production is not good bang for your buck. You've got to be very confident that there will be a bounce back to something quite a bit better than that. And look, Chris Moore and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, they weren't ranked very high either. They're in the 60s, right? That's not anything to write home about. Treylon Burks was in the 60s last year, okay? He's got to get way, way better for this to be a passing offense that you're looking to get. The difference is you're not paying these other guys anything, right? Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, they wouldn't even announce what he's making when they said that he was coming back. You know, they didn't release that.
It's
Chris
enough.
Moore was a bargain basement. Who was out there?
1 year, less than $1 million.
Right, and that's okay. That's okay.
Because that's
the expectations are. Maybe we hit on one of these guys, right? But DeAndre Hopkins, you sign him, you're expecting a major bounce back, and you're going to pay for that. But his production was not that different at all from those other guys in terms of efficiency.
Which is one metric to look at it.
Several metrics.
But when I look at it, I mean, you look at yards, you look at receptions, and I know around 66% of receptions versus targets. It's not elite. It's not. But I look at what DeAndre Hopkins was able to do in only 9 games, which was more than any other Titans receiver was able to do last year. That alone tells me that he's going to help. And I don't think he's going to be D-Hop of 2018, but he's going to help. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get right back into your phones on this coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. Also, be the first person to answer Willie's trivia question correctly, and you will win a pair of tickets to see Nashville Symphony's Black Panther this Friday at the Schermerhorn Symphony Center.
Yes, a great place to watch a concert, by the way. Fantastic. You've never been there. And if you love these, these movies, the superhero movies, which I'm a sucker for sure, you'll know this question, and you'll maybe, for the first time, go see our Symphony Center, which is fantastic, right downtown. Black Panther, this Friday, hey, if you've seen the movie, you know the kingdom where the Black Panther is from. What is the kingdom's name? You be the first to get that right, 615-737-1025, and you'll be going to see Black Panther with the symphony. Coming up on Friday, 615-737-1025. Don't text the answer. You don't win. You got to call.
Good luck. Oh.
There's no refuting that he's an addition that would be a huge plus for your group, to say the least. I think, like Jim, he's out shopping for a deal. He doesn't have one yet. You would have thought everyone knew he was going to come free. Everyone was getting ready, and whatever his asking price is, a lot of guys have backed down off it. They're not willing to go there, which does open the door for teams that I don't think he would have considered. I think he was looking at Buffalo and Kansas City. Well, it remains to be seen. If they're smart, they're going, let's just wait and see what the market is before we throw money at this thing, kind of like Baltimore did with OBJ. So doesn't mean you're going to lose him, but I don't think that's what his plan is. I think his plan has always been to go to an elite team with a major all-pro quarterback, and he can catch himself 100 passes.
That was Pat Kerwin of SiriusXM NFL Radio on DeAndre Hopkins, his visits with the Tennessee Titans, also visiting the New England Patriots. And Pat Kerwin says, hey, you know, DeAndre Hopkins wanted to catch passes from an elite quarterback, which, D-Maze, I mean, you've been there. Of course you do.
Of course,
Of course you want to catch passes from an elite quarterback, but where the market is right now, got two teams that have put their interest in, and it's two teams that don't have elite quarterbacks. It's two teams with solid management, but don't have elite quarterbacks. Mac Jones and Ryan Tannehill, I would say, are middle of the road, plain bagels. And I think that does kind of dictate a little bit of the money that each individual team is willing to put forth, because we kind of kicked this around at the break. I don't think New England is willing to break the bank for DeAndre Hopkins. Mm. I don't think whatever figure they have in mind for D-Hop is going to blow him away.
No, I don't think it either. I don't think, you know, anything is going to – I don't think what teams are going to offer him is going to blow him away. Like, oh, I got to take this deal. But I think he's going to possibly realize that, again, it goes back to what you think you're worth and what the market actually tells you what you're worth. I've said on the inside, I can't say, well, he's not worth it, because you know, many said OBJ wasn't worth what he got, but somebody was willing to pay it. Mm-hmm. It just depends on what situation you're in, where you think your team is at, how much you feel this person can help you get to that, you know, achieve, you know, that goal that you have as a team, and then you pay him accordingly. So, you know, the Titans may look at him as, you know, you're another piece that can help us win. But we're, and that may equate to, I don't know, lower than what he expected. It may be much lower than what he expected, but then he has to go back and reevaluate it and say, okay, this is what the market is saying about me. Now, who those teams that show interest, do I go back to those teams? What do I do as a player? Because, again, the market will tell you, will humble you and tell you, hey, listen, yeah, you may think you're still the number one guy, but we're telling you otherwise. You're not a number one guy.
And a lot of people have spent their budget a lot to this at this point in the offseason, right? For example, if this were if you could wind the clock back and the Ravens would be choosing to offer the money to OBJ or DeAndre Hopkins, maybe that changes the equation.
Yeah. But I think they still offer the money. I think they would still give it to OBJ for this reason. OBJ is a little bit younger.
They're close. They're pretty
and
close.
OBJ, there's not this thing about OBJ of not wanting to practice or anything else surrounding him. He's just been the knees
the
for
injuries.
Him, the injuries. And, you know, to me, OBJ, when he's fully healthy, he's a top 10 receiver. When he's fully healthy, the kid can flat out
still?
Play. Yeah. When he's healthy and doesn't have to worry, and that's, you know, that's like a big if. But when he's healthy, there's not too many receivers better than him, honestly. I've seen there's not too many people better than that guy.
When we take the air tomorrow, do we think we have answers on this, or are we spending the whole show on this tomorrow, too, as we wait for
well, at least we'll
him
know
to make the decision?
Whether he's in New England or not.
Well, Bill Belichick doesn't know, though.
Bill Belichick does not know. I did ask that question on Friday. Would we get information on Monday? I thought we'd have a whole lot more than Bill Belichick saying. I don't know. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is up next.
Be love and love on somebody. Peace.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.